how do I ask for information? So going back to the very, very, very basic starting of any immigration case, the A number is going to be the magic identifier. Once your client has an A number, and some clients will have multiple A numbers. And if you are dealing with a client that has multiple A numbers, at some point in the process, you want to try and consolidate all of those A numbers so that you know what you're dealing with. And so if you look at the alien numbers, which is on the other side, obviously starts with an A, those used to be 8-digit numbers, and now we are up to 9 digits. But that will be the case where you're normally the respondent or the person who is in either any process of immigration will have that identifier with them, and it will stay in their permanent file. And if you have someone that's detained, a lot of times their identifier will be on their bracelet. And if they don't know what an A number is, although I will say pretty much even most detainees understand what the A number is, and they'll have it handy so they can give it to you so that you can look for where they are detained and what their status is at the moment. Those are customer service numbers. That's a relative term when it comes to actually serving their customers, but they do exist. I will say the EOIR one, if you need to find out what's happening with the case, it's a good number to call and see whether the notice to appear, which is the charging document, has been filed. The USCIS customer service number might not always be as helpful. Mona, what can you tell us about InfoPass and what has now become of that whole process?
Well, InfoPass is not as we knew it. So if you have an issue and you want to go to the local office to inquire, you must call the 1-800 number and actually try to get them to allow you to go and give you an appointment. That is a lot easier said than done. It's hard to get through to them, and there are a lot of times they don't think you need to go there.
Okay. And many of you maybe know this, but what's on the other side of that phone line is a contract worker that has zero basis in immigration law, immigration process. They're talking off of a script. So based on what you are asking them, they are answering your question. And so it is extremely difficult unless you elevate the call. So if you're talking to somebody and you know you're not getting anywhere, I would ask to speak to a tier 2 supervisor. And that will at least get you to someone that's not going to be able to answer your question either. But they will send an email to a real officer somewhere. And that person, and then they'll take your number and they're supposed to call you back. They call you back at a very inopportune moment, most of the time. And sometimes that's at night.
That's right.
Sometimes it's 6 a.m. We don't really know, but for the most part, they are returning calls. It takes 3 or 4 days. If you miss that call, you have to start over again.
And you don't always know that they called you.
Right. They're not going to leave you a message with a callback number. Probably a block number is what it comes up as. I don't remember what mine came up as. But if you can get to someone who calls you back and that is a human, and you can convince them that your client has a need to expedite some process. It could be an advanced parole because somebody died and you need an emergency advanced parole appointment. Then that's when I would keep trying to contact them no matter what. And unfortunately, at all of the local offices, they're just going to send you away. They're not going to allow you in to see an information officer unless somebody outside of the local office has scheduled you for it. It's still called an InfoPass, but it's very hard to get them.
Yes, where you're seeing them going on and scheduling the InfoPass appointments, for example, would be like if you're a conditional resident and you're letter that you receive extending your ability to work and travel for 18 months is getting ready to expire and you want to go to the local office to get your passport stamped, they're usually pretty good about that.
Not that good, but
I'm more optimistic.
All right, filing FOIA request. I can tell you for my practice, it's basically become mandatory. We do it in almost every single file. You want to know what is in your client's A file if they have any history at all with immigration, regardless of whether it's filing a petition, a potential entry, multiple entries, unlawful entries, any stop that may have happened at any point on their way to the United States. A lot of times, people don't understand when you ask them, when did you enter? Was that the only time you entered? How many times did it take you to make it in? How many times did you try and enter before you actually entered?